Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, friends. This is Julie reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram. It's Friday, May 12, 2023. Water reuse could fend off oil production cuts. Regulatory efforts to reduce seismicity could result in sharp declines in water injection volumes and a corresponding drop in oil production, by Mella McEwen. Permian Basin communities have been shaken by rising seismic activity linked to water disposals in the last few years. Managing the problems threatens to shake up the region's dominant industry, oil and gas production. Mike Hightower, Program Director of the New Mexico Produced Water Research Corinium, told those attending the Permian Basin Environmental Regulatory Seminar on Thursday he expects the occurrence, another 5-magnitude or greater earthquake like the one near Midland last December or near Mentone last November, will prompt the Railroad Commission to take action. He predicted the action will include banning the import of produced water from other states for disposal in Texas, as well as reduction in water injection volumes in the range of 30 to 50%. That would mean a corresponding reduction in oil production, he warned. If we can treat and reuse produced water, we can reduce that, he told the seminar, presented by Midland College's Petroleum Professional Development Center and the Permian Basin Petroleum Association. Marshall Watson, chair of the Texas Tech Petroleum Engineering Department and faculty co-director of the Texas Produced Water Consortium, said the consortium reported to Texas legislator in a September report, there is a projected 14 million barrel of produced water a day coming from both the Delaware and the Midland basins. Of that, 11 million barrels in reuse by the industry. The consortium also estimated 2 to 4 billion barrels per year of treated water could be available for beneficial reuse outside the industry. But the most important statistic, Watson cited, from the Texas Water Development Board, Texas would see a water shortage equaling 80,000 acre-feet a year by 2050. We have a huge need and someone has to fill in the gap, he said. Hightower said his consortium has been working on ways to clean produced water for use in drilling and completion operations this year. We'll look at various treatment options. Two options, membrane and thermal, can get produced water close to drinking water standards at a cost of 75 cents to $101.50 a barrel. That's higher than disposal costs, but if regulatory cuts disposal volumes, those rates could jump to $2 a barrel. Legislation to fund 2 pilot projects designed by the Texas Water Consortium is awaiting the governor's signature, and failing that, will go into effect this weekend, Watson said. The first phase will utilize exit technology to clean water at existing produced water collection sites, treating a minimum of 500 barrels a day from both the Midland and Delaware basins. The second phase will test more novel technologies and field testing of treated water on rangeland, non-food, and crops. A report on the result is due to the legislature in October 2024. Hightower said there are tests being done in conjunction with the ConocoPhillips and the Sandia National Laboratory on rangeland applications and with the New Mexico Oil Conservative Division to treat produced water in the Midland area to see what level of cleanliness they can reach. We think we get it to drinking water standards, he said. Produced water could also be used in emerging energy resources. Hightower pointed out that producing ethanol from corn requires 1,000 gallons of water to produce 1 gallon of fuel. Producing gasoline from petroleum requires 1 gallon of water for 1 gallon of fuel. Producing hydrogen will also require significant amounts of water, he said. It could also play a role in carbon sequestration. Both consortiums are working together, sharing data and working with the respective legislator on legislation to promote treating and reusing produced water. Fire Department investigating South Midland House Fire, staff writer. The Midland Fire Department responded Thursday afternoon to a structure fire in South Midland. The city of Midland reported that about 2 p.m., MFD crews responded to a structure fire in the 1,000 block of Main Street. The single-story home was a total loss. One person was treated on the scene for minor injuries, but no other injuries were reported, the city reported. The cause of the fire is under investigation. County Leaders to Meet About Horseshoe by Stuart Doreen. The Midland County Commissioners Court will meet Monday to take up matters related to the termination of Horseshoe Complex Operators, Horseshoe Hospitality Services. An agenda set out Thursday reported the following items will be part of the special meeting. For on or after 8:30 a.m., Monday, in the Commissioners Courtroom, located at the Midland County Courthouse, 500 North Lorain Street, the agenda includes 1. Conduct executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071 to consult with county attorney regarding pending and prospective legislation and other matters. 2. Conduct executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.074 to discuss personal matters. 3. Discuss and take action on management and operations at the Horseshoe. 4. Discuss and take action on contract services and or personnel. 5. Discuss and take action hiring outside counsel. During Monday's meeting of the Midland County Commissioners Court, County Judge Terry Johnson, Precinct 3, Commissioner Louis Sanchez, Precinct 4, Commissioner Diane Anderson, voted to terminate the county's contract with Horseshoe Hospitality Services. During the meeting, when Joe Kelly, owner and president of Horseshoe Hospitality, asked Johnson the reason for the termination, Johnson said, "I don't have to give one." On Tuesday, an attorney representing Horseshoe Hospitality sent a letter to Johnson and Midland County and the county not permitted to immediately terminate without cause. The firm stated in the letter that county representatives have community-directed Horseshoe Hospitality Services employees to discuss the contract. The firm added that communication by the county representatives to Horseshoe Hospitality's employees pertaining to the contract continues improper interference with the Horseshoe's business operations. The firm demanded the county cease all such communication. The contract, according to the letter from Hal Brockett Jr. of the law firm Brockett, McNeil, and Prozick, have less than 17 months left on the 60-month term. The letter states, instead of going through stressful and expensive litigation, Kelling is willing to meet with Johnson and the county to try to find an amicable solution and honor the contract for the remaining approximately 17 months. Eagle Shadow Showcase Owners Native American History by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Welded deep within the turquoise jewelry found, an Eagle Shadow trading post lies the rich history of Maribel McLeland, born and raised in Midland and owner of Apache, Mexican, Indian, and Spaniard ancestors, roamed the area, silversmithing unique pieces of wearable art. In high school, McLeland worked at one of the oldest Western stores in town, collecting pieces here and there and learning about the culture signified related to her family. After marrying husband Keith McLeland, also an owner of Eagle Shadow, the couple started traveling to New Mexico and other states as collectors. Once they realized a significant amount of fellow Midlanders wanted to join the turquoise collection family, Maribel and Keith decided to open an online store in 2019. "I'm wearing it throughout the town, and I would get stopped at the restaurants, at the mall, checked out at HEB. They'd say, 'Oh my gosh, we love your turquoise. Where'd you get it from?' Maribel said. 'Why, we buy turquoise. Why, it's a symbolic to Maribel and other indigenous Americans. Dating all the way back to the pharaohs of Egypt, turquoise was considered a delicacy and a cultural luxury and eventually joined the precious stone category. At some point throughout the years, the gem, a byproduct of gold, copper, and other minerals, would be chunked aside by miners, ultimately picked up by the indigenous Americans and turned into the iconic pieces seen at trading posts, rodeos, state fairs, and other places throughout the country and world today. Southwest turquoise, the only kind of turquoise sold at Eagle Shadow, is the most desired precious stone worldwide, according to Maribel and Keith. Because of an overwhelming percentage of mines being closed, it's measured in carats, like a diamond or ruby, so it's in the same grade, Maribel explained. The highest grade of turquoise right now is called Bisbee Blue, $15,000 a carat. However, for Maribel and Keith, the money means nothing. Representing her culture and educated community members remain the most important aspect of the shop. In doing so, the duo visit reservations in states such as New Mexico, where they buy the creations from the artisans before displaying them in their Alley Village brick and mortar. I want people to see what the Native American make art because it is an art form, Maribel stated. They express themselves through jewelry, sand, painting, rugs. There's so much more than people know. We carry Navajo rugs that are over 100 years old, handmade and hand-spun. We carry some of the pottery they hand-paint. We want to spread diversity, and we want people to learn when they come visit us what kind of turquoise, where it comes from, what's the art's background. It's people like Maribel and Keith who keep the good aspect of Midland shining. Without community members dedicated to cultural education and beaming with ancestral pride, the city would fall far behind the times, ultimately becoming an unwelcoming place for growth. Eagle Shadows Trading Post, named after the sports Indigenous Americans would conduct business, will hold a grand opening from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday. The Hispanic Chamber will conduct a ribbon-cutting ceremony at 1 p.m. The Hispanic Cultural Center will perform a traditional folklore dance from 1 to 2, and Native Pride Productions will perform a traditional powwow from 5 to 6. Follow the shop's Instagram on Instagram.com, Eagle Shadow Trading Post. Check out their online store at eagleshadow.com, 200 Spring Park Drive, Suite 104. Other good-to-know info. Turquoise appreciates in value always. If you own turquoise from a now-closed mine, the price could be stalkingly high. No piece can ever truly be recreated, making each product one of a kind. Eagle Shadow is the first authentic Native American jewelry store in Midland. The store will authenticate the value any turquoise in your collection you may be questioning. You chip broke your Eagle Shadow piece? Now what? Take it back to the store and Maribel and Keith will get it taken care of. Eagle Shadow provides an authentic card with each item. Some of the pieces in the store Maribel has made herself. Side note. As stated before, Eagle Shadow Trading Post only carries Southwest turquoise. On their buying trips, Maribel and Keith use their extensive knowledge of stones and metals to verify each piece is 100% Southwest turquoise and sterling silver. Gas prices in Midland drop 98 cents in last year, by Ben Schaefer. Gas prices in Midland are almost a dollar cheaper than they were a year ago, according to AAA Texas. The organization also reported the average gas price in Midland is the second highest in Texas, but it's closer to the state average this week. Midland experienced a 6-cent decrease in gas prices, which was double the state average and 2 cents more than the weekly decrease in Odessa. The result was $3.16 average in Midland that was still 8 cents higher than the average in Odessa, $3.08, and 7 cents higher than the average cost in the state, $3.09. All West Texas cities' AAA Texas survey reported a decrease in gas prices except for Abilene, which experienced an 11-cent increase. AAA Texas reported a $3.01 average in Lubbock and Amarillo a $3.03 average in San Angelo, and a $3.14 average in Lubbock. The highest average in the region across the state was $3.20 in El Paso. Dallas, $3.14, Fort Worth, Arlington, $3.14, and Abilene, $3.14, rounded out the five locations with the highest gas prices in the state. The lowest average was $2.91 in Victoria. The Memorial Day holiday is just around the corner, and the good news for many driver prices have come down recently, said AAA's Texas spokesperson Daniel Armbruster in the weekly report. However, with the holiday weekend expected to be very busy, prices may start to rise and already have in some metro areas. Though fuel price averages are much cheaper than the same time last year, the average in Midland is 98 cents cheaper than 1 year ago, while the statewide average is a dollar cheaper. AAA Texas has reported the state average is the third lowest in the country. Californians are paying the most, with $4.81. Greenwood High School Smokin' Rangers claim third place at state. The Greenwood High School Smokin' Rangers finished third this past weekend at the Texas High School BBQ State Championship held in Round Rock. The team consisted of junior Maya Hickey, sophomore Mateo Solis, and junior Casey Villarreal. The Smokin' Rangers placed third in ribs, fifth in chicken, and racked up a total number of points to finish third of 92 teams. The grand champion was 205 pitmasters from Dr. Green Burton College and Career Academy, and the reserve champion was Fat Barbecue from Ben Barber Invitational Academy. Local teams placing in the top 38, Smokin' Ranger Greenwood High School, 3rd, 22nd, Up in Smoke Midland High School, 28th, Eagle Q Hillcrest High School, 35th, Big Spring Smokers, Big Spring High School. Midland Chamber assists with horseshoe operations. Staff writer. The Midland Chamber of Commerce reported Thursday that its officials are assisting officials at the horseshoe complex as the county attempts to operate the facility after terminating its operator. During Monday's meeting of the Midland County Commissioners Court, County Judge Terry Johnson, Precinct 3 Commissioner Louis Sanchez, and Precinct 4 Commissioner Diane Anderson voted to terminate the contract with the Horseshoe Hospitality Service. The success of the facilities in Midland, including the Horseshoe and the Bush Convention Center, are important to the chapter and Visit Midland, Midland Chamber President and CEO Bobby Burns wrote. They are economic generators. They help money flow throughout Midland. Visit Midland drives events towards both facility through the everyday work of the chamber. It is our intention to help the Horseshoe where possible, just like they've helped us. We will, and we have provided options and identified to assist the appropriate. Burns also wrote, the chamber's goal is not to ultimately run the county horseshoe. We have no desire to take on another facility of that magnitude. Our focus is the Bush Convention Center. We are simply assisting our teammates at the county horseshoe facility with referrals, resources, and advice where possible, as we would in any situation. The Bush Convention Center is returning the favor for the county's assistance during its issue with our facility because we recognize the value of working together. As we said, we wish the county success and we assist them where needed. But please allow me to be crystal clear that it is not the chamber's intention to complete for the contract to run the facility. The Horseshoe Pavilion is supposed to be the venue for University of Texas Permian Basin graduation on Saturday and the spring into summer show starting May 19th. County creates hotline for ticket holders for future horseshoe events. Midland County has created a hotline where the residents can voice their concerns about future events at the horseshoe. In response to many members of the Commissioner's Court receiving several calls and emails of concern from Midland County residents, we have created a hotline for anyone worried about events they would have planned have tickets to the Horseshoe Complex, at the county spokesperson said. Residents with concerns about events should call or text 432-235-0151 and leave a voicemail with their name and event information. The University of Texas at the Permian Basin is scheduled to have their graduation ceremonies at the Horseshoe Pavilion this weekend. UTPB commencement still happening at Horseshoe. After Monday's Commissioner's Court resulted in the contract termination between the county and the Horseshoe Hospitality Service, Midland leaders throughout the city expressed concerns about events already on the schedule, including the University of Texas Permian Basin spring commencement being held Saturday. The school has been hosting spring and summer commencement at the Horseshoe for the last several years because of a large graduating class, too big for the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Tatum Hubbard, Chief of Staff and VP of Communications and Marketing, told the Reporter-Telegram, "We fully anticipate to move ahead as the contract allows us to do so. When I heard about the situation, I reached out to both the general manager, Joe Kelly, and the county judge. Both are very responsive, helpful, and all are going to be smooth sailing for Saturday. Odessa Permian student arrested for weapons on campus. Staff writer. Edgar County ISD police arrested a ninth grade student at Permian High School for two separate charges. Places weapon prohibited, a third degree felony, and threat of a firearm, a state jail felony. The PHS student staff member saw a student acting suspiciously outside the building and reported it to campus police. Officers went to that area and found a weapon hidden in the bushes, but the student had left. Police located the boy, confirmed he did at one time have possession of the weapon, and arrested him. Safety is our district's priority, said ECISD, has many precautions in place at all schools to keep our students and staff as safe as possible. ECISD noted in a news release, among those precautions is the principle, see something, say something. We're very thankful to our staff member who noticed that behavior and was out of the ordinary and immediately reported it. We also want to thank our ECISD officers and campus leaders who quickly identified the student, located him, and took him into custody. OPD arrests suspect who made threats to West Odessa Walmart by Mercedes Cordero. The Odessa Police Department has arrested a man in connection with the Thursday morning threats at the West Odessa Walmart. OPD reported that about 8:38 a.m., OPD responded to the Walmart on 2450 Northwest Loop 338 in reference to a person with a gun. OPD reported that an unknown male called dispatch and advised he was at Walmart with a gun. According to a press release, the Ector County Sheriff's Office dispatch received a 911 call from the person requesting help at the Walmart, stating they were in some form of a criminal situation at the location. ECSO dispatch was able to determine that the call was made in the city. OPD, ESCO, and Texas Department of Public Safety troopers responded to the scene and the store was evacuated. Officers were able to locate the caller inside the store, and he was determined without incident, according to the press release. The caller, identified as Raji Abdulaziz, 31, was found to be in possession of a non-functioning BB gun. The BB gun was never displayed, and there were no other threats made to the business or any person, according to the OPD. Abdulaziz has been previously issued a criminal trespassing warrant by Walmart for unrelated matters, according to the OPD. Abdulaziz was arrested and charged with criminal trespass, a Class B misdemeanor. OPD requested assistance from local mental health officials with this matter. Texas House okays letting voters decide on sports betting by Eleanor Dearman. The Texas House on Thursday agreed to let voters decide whether to legalize sports betting in the state. The proposal is backed by a number of professional sports teams in Texas, including the Dallas Cowboys, and will put sports betting on the ballot. The bill author, Representative Jeff Leach, is explaining the bill Wednesday, stressed that illegal sports betting is already happening, and argued that legalizing the practice would deter that. The need to regulate the online sports betting industry is a key argument of the measure's supporters. This is simply allowing what is currently taking place in the state of Texas to be done in a non-criminal yet constitutional way, Leach, a Plano Republican, said Wednesday. House Joint Resolution 102 was initially approved on Wednesday, but was short of votes needed to get final passage and be presented to the Senate, where it still faces long odds, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has said the votes aren't there for explained gambling throughout Senate. Version of the sports betting bill has filed by Senator Lewis Carkhurst of Brenham Republican. The measure passed 101-42 on Thursday, getting just enough votes to advance. The House also approved a companion bill that sets regulation for sports betting in Texas. We're extremely grateful for Republican Reach unverifying dedication and surveying the votes necessary to send our legislation to the Senate, said Texas Sports Betting Alliance spokesperson Kara Gutsafas It's a statement sent by the Tex. In a historic day for Texas and its millions of sports fans, the work is not over, and we remain focused on securing votes in the Senate to ensure Texas voters get the chance to have their voice heard on the November ballot. The proposals would have to be set for a committee hearing, advance to the full Senate, and win approval there before heading to voters. Bob Kochler, a consultant with the Christian Life Commission on Baptist General Convention of Texans, which opposes the sports betting bill, said he understood the proposals could get out of the House when the session began. Everybody in the building knows that piece of legislation is going to the Senate, where there's a high on expansion of gambling, he said. Don't expect any movement over there. Leach's bill, setting the framework for the sports betting bar, betting for those under 21. It establishes permitting and allowed sports governing bodies to enter into commercial agreements. Betting on youth sports would not be allowed. Initially, as proposed, operators could own a 10% tax on net revenue, which would go to the Texas Education Agency for property tax relief. 2% would also go to the Fund for Problem Gambling and Addiction. A Wednesday amendment from Representative Chris Turner, Grand Prairie Democrat, increased the tax to 15% in addition to other charges. The Texas Legislature Budget Board estimates the legislation, as originally filed, could generate $175.7 million in general revenue for Texas by the end of August 2025. 33 states in Washington, D.C. have sports betting, according to the American Gambling Association. Representative Julie Johnson, a Farmers Branch Democrat, touted the benefits sports betting profits could have for women's sports. What this bill will do for women's basketball and women's professional sports is transformational, Johnson said. Opponents of expanded gambling have raised concerns with criminal and addiction as lawmakers consider both sporting bets and expanding casino gambling. The vote on a bill allowing Texans to decide on limits number of destination resorts was delayed until at least 10 p.m. Thursday. An accompanying bill laying out the framework for casinos got initial approval 63-49, but the delayed bill has a higher threshold to pass and advance to the Senate. Members, I laid out for you the concern, the grave concerns I have with casinos. Online gambling is worse, and here's why, said Republican Matt Shahey, a Plano representative. With casinos, at least there's a geographic restriction, he said. Now we're talking online, he said, later raising concerns about gambling companies targeting children. Now we're talking about every Texan. 30 million Texans have access to online gambling, and here's the issue. When you go into a casino, you're dealing mostly with cash. With your device, you're dealing with a credit card. Obituaries. Valerie Marie DeWoody passed away on May 6, 2023, just 2 weeks after her 18th birthday. Marie was born with a rare chromosomal disorder, Ring 14. This disorder did not make her life easy, and it brought her time with us to close all too soon, but it did not define her. More than anything, Marie was a lover of life and of people. Through her life was unlike most. Her differences only serve no to highlight the things we all share. Some joys are universal, and Marie knew them all. A list of her favorite things in no particular order. Swinging, singing, happy birthday, sunshine, bowling, Nilla wafers, playing catch, the song All the Little Fishies, shape sorting, walking around the block, school, roller coasters, buggy rides, making new friends, giving hugs, the turkey and frog from Barnyard Dash, howling at the moon, car washes, blowing bubbles, her furry friends, and the wind. And a list of her very least favorite things: washing her face, going to bed on time, waking up on time, drinking water, the dentist, and also the wind. Marie was playful and charming, mischievous and contrary, a daring, darling little girl. Above all, she was our sweet Marie. She is at rest now, but her family will always hold her tightly in spirit, and we invite each of you to do the same. She enriched our lives and made us better people. A public visitation will be held on Thursday, May 11th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Llewellyn Garcia Pippin Funeral Home in Midland. The funeral service will take place on Friday, May 12th at 10:30 a.m. and the Golf Course Road Church of Christ Family Center, Midland. In lieu of flowers, donations are preferred to ringusa.org or bynumstool.org. Her family would also like to thank the incredible care team of doctors, nurses, therapists, and teachers at Bynum School. Funeral service is under the discretion of Llewellyn Garcia Pippin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pippin@nts-online.net. Death notices. Rosalia Vargas. Rosalia Vargas, 51, of Midland, passed away Tuesday, May 9, 2023, in Midland. Funeral services will be held at 10, May 13, 2023, American Heritage Funeral Home. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Crematory Funeral Home Crematory.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Odessa American for Friday, May 12, 2023. Plainview, Araceli Torres of Odessa wins Wayland Citizenship Award by Odessa American, May 11, 2023. Plainview, Araceli Torres and Devin Davis each received Wayland Baptist University Citizenship Award during a recognition chapel service held Wednesday, May 10th in Harrell Auditorium. Voted on by students and faculty, the Citizenship Award is the highest honor given to a senior man and woman each year. We congratulate you on this honor, Dr. Bobby Hall, president, said in presenting the awards. Citizenship Award presentations came at the conclusion of a ceremony in which 86 honors were presented to students. The awards included the presentation of Jasmine Ortega and Brett Wilburn as the Rory Allgood Thomas Outstanding Freshman Girl and Outstanding Freshman Boy. A senior from Odessa, Torres is the daughter of Dr. Rachel Torres, Director of Clinical Teaching, and Mike Torres. She is a molecular biology major with a minor in chemistry. Torres is a major of the American Chemical Society, a Welch Foundation researcher, and volunteers at the local food bank. She has done work study in biology, chemistry, and tutorial services. Torres was voted Miss Congeniality in the Miss Wayland pageant and worked as a K-parent for Hornonia, a freshman welcome event held annually. Upon graduating, Torres plans to enter the Texas Tech Modular Pathology Graduate Program. A senior history major from Opelousas, Louisiana, Davis is the son of Michelle and the late Scott Davis, who are WBU alumni. During his time at Wayland, he has been a part of the track, cross country, and esports teams. He served as the president of the Gamers Guild and was involved in Student Alumni Council and Student Union Board. Davis has been a resident assistant at both Caprock Hall and Jimmy Dean Hall. Having recently successfully completed his thesis, he plans to earn a master's degree in history at Houston Christian University after graduating from Wayland. Jeffrey Vera, Director of Alumni and Career Services, presented the Rory Allgood Thomas Outstanding Freshman Awards. A native of Midland, Ortega is the daughter of Margarita and Humberto Ortega. She is a choral music education major and is involved in Baptist Student Ministries, International Choir, Opera, and the Great Commission team of the School of Christian Studies. A native of Amarillo, Wilburn is the son of Jennifer and Jeremy Cantrell, as well as the late James Lee Wilburn. He is an engineering major. He is involved with the Honors Program and Pioneer Basketball. He works in the School of Behavioral and Social Sciences. Dr. Claude Lusk, Senior Vice President of Operations, presented Spinning Wheel Awards to 11 junior or senior students who demonstrated campus leadership while while maintaining a minimum grade point average of 2.0. Those receiving the awards included Sadie Argueta, Nia McGriff, Faith Castillo, Bruna Moriella, Clarissa Rieno, Hope Castillo, Riley Biggs, Morgan Rutledge, Ashlyn Shelley, Chloe Marmot, Taylor Ramage, Shaney Brewer, Director of Undergraduate Admission, presented 14 Pioneer Scholars and 13 Centennial Award honorees. Those who maintained their Pioneer academic scholarships through their undergraduate studies at Wayland included Diego Cortez, Caitlin Edgman, Carson Miles, Jackson Reeser, Andrea Illa, Kyria Weatherton, Ethan Byers, Abigail Epp, Jackson Kent, Dawson Maley, Sarah Manchi, Alexander Spencer, Lindsay Sumner, and Jesse Bennett. Centennial Awards were presented to Devin Davis, Ryan Davis, William Flowers, Chelsea Kelly, Matthew Perry, Olivia Ritchie, Ashlyn Shelley, Hope Chateau, Brandon Chapin, Bailey Hare, Paul Rubeck, Joshua Smendima, and Brody Williams. Dr. Cindy McClingan, Vice President of Academic Affairs, presented Outstanding Achievement Awards to students in various program areas of each of the university's academic schools. In the School of Behavioral and Social Sciences, awards were presented to Jansen Stevens, History, Carson Miles, Psychology, Sarah Diaz, Sociology, William Flowers, Criminal Justice, and Ryan Davis, Social Studies Composite. In the School of Business, awards were presented to Brody Williams, Accounting, Jesus Soto, Business Administration, William Bundy, Cybersecurity, Angel Lucero, Digital Marketing, Brian Alfaro, Economics, Gabriel Paglioni, Finance, Monet Parker, Healthcare Administration, Laston Bigham, Management, Jeffrey Lucido, Marketing, and Vlasmil Miller, Sports Management. In the Don A. Williams School of Education, awards were presented to Julia Franklin, Elementary Education, Lizette Garcia, Middle School Education, Casey Buck, Secondary Education, Kenan Phillips, All-Level Education, Joshua Smendima, Allied Health, and Mason Garrett, Exercise and Sports Science. In the School of Creative Arts, awards were presented to Justin Parker, Media, Patton Denton, Two Dimensional Art, Madeline Addison, Graphic Design, Joshua Tucker, Communication Studies, Deborah DeSalvo, Vocal Performance, and Lindsay Joe Sumner, Choral Music Education and Musicological Studies. In the School of Languages and Literature, awards were presented to Jesus Soto, Spanish, Lily Jolly, Humanities, and Abigail Epp, English. In the Kenneth L. Maddox School of Mathematics and Sciences, awards were presented to Riley Biggs, Biology, Chelsea Kelly, Chemistry, Thad Udaw, Mathematics, Ricardo Flores, Molecular Biology, Morgan Rutledge, Environmental Science, and Ian Joff, Computer Science. In the School of Christian Studies, awards were presented to Sarah Diaz, Amelia Bishop, Women's Ministerial Award, Brandon Maley, Arthur E. Board Award, Jesse Bennett, Timothy Award, Austin Peel, Servant Leadership Award, Chris Chadwick, Theological Studies, Taylor Ramage, Christian Ministry, and Cameron Benfield, Vocation Ministry. Permian High School student arrested for weapon on campus, May 11th. ECISD police arrested a ninth grade student May 11th at Permian High School for two separate charges, places, weapons prohibited, and third-degree felony, a theft of a firearm, a state jail felony. A PHF staff member saw a student acting suspiciously outside the building and reported it to campus police. Officers went to that area and found a weapon hidden in the bushes, but the student had left. Police located the boy, confirmed he did at one time have possession of the weapon, and arrested him, the news release said. Safety is the district's priority, and ECISD has many precautions in place at all schools to keep out our students and staff as safe as possible. Among those precautions is the principle of see something, say something, the release said. We are thankful to our staff member who noticed behavior that was out of the ordinary and immediately reported it. We also want to thank our ECISD officers and campus leaders who quickly identified the student, located him, and took him into custody, the release said. High school basketball, Odessa High's Welch to leave for Weatherford by Michael Bauer for May 10th. After 4 years in charge, Odessa High School boys basketball head coach Neil Welch has announced that he will be leaving for Weatherford for the same position. Welch made his announcement on Wednesday. Welch said the decision was based on being closer to home, and he and his wife, Tori, have family in the Metroplex. I'm from Dallas and my family's from Dallas. Welch said, my wife is also from Dallas as well as her family, and we have our first child due on September 3rd, so we started thinking about the big picture, and we realized that we really wanted to be 45 minutes away from our family as opposed to 5 hours. It gave us a good chance for the grandparents to see the grandkid a lot more, and we can be around family and be close to home. That was our biggest factor. Welch took over as the man in charge at Odessa High back in 2019 after coming over from Crowley High School as an assistant coach. During his time at OHS, Welch helped turn around a program that prior to his arrival went 8-25, including a winless run in District 2 6A play during the 2018-19 season. A lot of people across the state thought that success wouldn't happen at Odessa High. Welch said, when I took the job here, a lot of my coaching friends told me not to come there and that it's hard to win here, so I decided to take the risk and we ended up doing well. It took 1 year to begin the turnaround as the Broncos managed a fourth place finish in District 2 6A play during his Welch's first season and a spot in the playoffs. Things continued to improve on the court as Odessa High added 2 more playoff appearances in 2022 and 2023, which included bi-district championships in each of those seasons. We had back-to-back bi-district championships, Welch said. 2 years ago, we ended up winning quite a few games, the most OHS won in about 21 years. We beat some ranked teams in that process. We made basketball fun again at Odessa High. I would be lying if I said it was all me, because it was a team effort from the assistant coaches to the players and the community as well. It was a fun time. This past season, the Broncos went 22-15, 6-4, and finished second in the district standings. Odessa High defeated El Paso Coronado 86-53. In the bi-district round before losing to North Crowley in a 62-41 area round contest. I think when you are taking over a program, you have to capture the hearts and minds of the young men that you are playing for you, Welch said. We did a lot of team bonding. We had an open door policy. We were constantly communicating with our players and families. They were playing summer league, spring league, and just any time they could, and they gained that confidence and belief that we could do this and we can win. As a coach, Welch said that he started to see and feel it all coming together, that they were putting together something special at Odessa High. It got going in the right direction, and before you knew it, instead of losing by 40, we were winning by 40, Welch said. It was certainly a great feeling to witness the turnaround of the program. Now Welch will face a similar challenge at Weatherford. The Kangaroos are coming off a season that featured a 9-23 overall showing and a 2-11 record in District 8 6A. They've been bad at basketball for a long time, and I believed they finished second to last in their district this year, Welch said. They're in a unique area where they're close to a lot of small school basketball powerhouse towns. They're surrounded by basketball talent. I don't see any reason why Weatherford can't start improving and get to where they should be, but I'm excited for the challenge and to be close to home and for my parents to come to more games. It's a brand new school, and it's a nice school, and has a lot of great facilities. I don't have any teaching duties either. I'm just coaching basketball. Children's Miracle Network balloon to be revealed May 11th, 2023. Medical Center Health Systems and Children's Miracle Network will unveil the CMN logo on the exterior of the MCH Center for Women and Infants on 10:30 a.m. May 16th. The reveal has been years in the making and highlights MCH being a CMN hospital since 1987. CMN works with local and corporate partners to advocate for children's health in its 17 counties and to bring in funds for our pediatrics and neonatal intensive care unit. These funds are raised local and stay local. It is through CMN donations that children can be treated at Medical Center Hospital regardless of payment. The Children's Miracle Network operates under the guidance of Medical Center Health System Foundation, a nonprofit organization that helps Medical Center Health System maintain a high standard for developing outstanding care through the activities such as purchasing life-saving equipment for our NICU and pediatric unit, funding an estimated $3 million pediatric renovation, providing continuing education for our NICU and pediatric nursing staff, fund the Ronald McDonald Family Room, and bringing much-needed primary care to ECISD students with the Ronald McDonald Care Mobile. The event and unveiling is free. Construction firm chosen for Mesa Building Project, May 11th. Oldolphson and Peterson Construction, a national family-owned construction, management, and contracting company, was awarded the contract to renovate the Mesa Building, the oldest and largest building at the University of Texas Permian Basin campus in Odessa. The project is designed to provide a wide range of interior upgrades, enhancements, and improvements necessary to support the university academic mission to achieving new growth and technological functionality. Construction is slated to start this fall and is projected for a fall 2024 completion. The 317,000 square foot Mesa building, which serves as the campus's academic and administrative anchor, will have up to 80,000 square feet of the building subject to demolition, salvage, and reconfiguration of classrooms, offices, and ancillary spaces necessary for maximizing efficiencies, increasing operation reliability, and providing improved work environments for students and staff. The historic Mesa Building is an iconic facility for the UT Permian Basin campus. Bob Lemke, Vice President of Operations at the AP Gulf States Region, said in a news release, "We appreciate the trust the University of Texas system placed on AP to update this symbol of the university. We recognize the importance of this building to the campus, alumni, staff, and students. The scope of work will include replacing ceilings, light fixtures, HVAC supply registers, return air grills, flooring, paint, and wall coverings throughout the building, electrical distribution and emergency power systems, building controls, automation, mechanical plumbing systems, low voltage systems, and one new elevator are also part of the project. The building will remain open and operational during building renovation," the release said. "This renovation will transform the experience for our students, faculty, and staff in the Mesa Building. For 50 years, the Mesa has served as the primary hub for our entire Falcon community." A place for meetings, classrooms, and offices, said UTPB President Sandy Woodley, said in the release, "We're excited for the team at AP to take it to the next level and improve both the function and the beauty of the space." UTPB Permian Basin is celebrating its 50th anniversary in 2023 and through 2024. Architects for the project include JSA Architects and PBK Architects. AP's West Texas office is currently working on several area projects, including Potters County's District Courts Building in Amarillo, as well as the expansion of the Midland College Pre-K Academy in Midland. In addition, the Central Texas office is currently developing Sunrise Commerce Center in Round Rock. AP Gulf State's current projects include adaptive reuse work at downtown Dallas's Santander Tower. Additionally, AP's recent notable completed projects include the new PGA of America headquarters in Frisco and Vari's headquarters with Vari Space in Coppell. Road rage incident leads to 15-year sentence by Odessa American for May 11th. Odessa man accused of being involved in a deadly road rage incident pleaded guilty to manslaughter and was sentenced to 15 years in prison last week. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Victor Terrine Gonzalez Jr. was seen on surveillance video punching Ross Walker in the parking lot of the DK convenience store on Tanglewood Lane on October 14, 2021. Walker fell to the ground, hit his head on a rock, and died the next day at University Medical Center in Lubbock. Gonzalez, 39, admitting hitting Walker, according to the report. He told detectives he was driving west on Maple Avenue when Walker, 57, ran a stop sign, almost crashing into him. Gonzalez saw Walker pull into the DK parking lot, so he pulled in to confront him. In addition to pleading guilty to manslaughter, Gonzalez pleaded guilty to possession of a controlled substance, heroin, in a separate 2021 case. He was sentenced to 571 days in prison in that case, and they'll be served concurrently with the other sentence. Walker was a married father of three and grandfather of seven. He was also survived by his mother and 12 siblings. Update: authorities say man who caused evacuation armed with inoperable BB gun for May 11th. Authorities say 31-year-old man who caused evacuation of the Westside Walmart on Thursday morning was armed with a non-functioning BB gun that was never displayed. They also said the man never made any overt threats. According to an Odessa Police Department news release, Ector County Sheriff's Office dispatchers received a 911 call from a man who indicated he was in crisis at the Walmart on Northwest Loop 338. Although there was a significant language barrier, the dispatcher learned the man, later identified as Rajesh Abdulaziz, had a gun and then informed the Odessa Police Department what was going on, while sheriff's deputies, police officers, Texas Department of Public Safety troopers, and Texas Rangers were en route. Walmart evacuated the store. Officers worked with Walmart staff to isolate where the subject was inside the store. A team of officers moved quickly and detained the subject inside without incident or injury, the release stated. Abdulaziz had an inoperable BB gun that he never showed, and he didn't threaten the business or any person overtly, the release said. Abdulaziz had been issued a criminal trespass warning by Walmart in the past, so he was arrested on suspicion of criminal trespass, a misdemeanor charge. He was taken to the Ector County Jail, and officials have asked for help from local mental health officials, the release stated. No bond has been set as of Thursday afternoon. Permian High School hosts second white coat ceremony by Odessa American May 11, 2023. 22 students at Permian High School were acknowledged for completing a four-year biomedical science track on May 9th At the second annual project, Lead the Way Biomedical White Coat Ceremony, each student was adorned in a white coat by a family member to recognize their achievement in finishing the program, and each white coat student will also receive an endorsement that follows them throughout their post-secondary education. The biomedical track at Permian is sponsored by Chevron under Project Lead the Way, a nonprofit organization that develops STEM curriculum to develop creative thinking skills in students. During the four-year program, students begin by learning about the basics of medicine and disease before delving into the specifics of different body systems, the anatomy of different infections, and the formation of genetic disorders. It's all project-based as opposed to worksheets and memorization, biomedical teacher Joey Escalante said. Along with a white coat, they get an endorsement that follows them along. Companies love seeing Project Lead the Way because it shows that the kids are able to think outside the box and are able to create rather than strictly spin off facts. Initially planned to begin in 2021, the White Coat Ceremony was forced to miss a year due to the ongoing COVID pandemic. Because of the outbreak, the past two biomed groups were forced into a unique learning experience that involved virtual learning and the outright cancellation of classes. They were at home, they were on the couch trying to beat out the TikToks, beat out the YouTube and the Netflix, but these kids just have a thirst for knowledge and it propelled them forward, Escalante said. The project-based learning means they couldn't cheat off these assignments, and so once they could buy in, these kids did some incredible work. Haley Cruz, who was one of the students to receive her white coat, said it felt amazing to cross the finish line and see her hard work and effort pay off. She acknowledged the obstacles COVID had presented during her 4 years in the program. It was a bit rough because I didn't learn much online at all. And in Mr. Escalante's class specifically, we have a lot on hands-on stuff that I really enjoy, and we didn't have that for 2 years in a row, basically, Cruz said. So it was hard, but I really like it now. It was harsh, but in the end, it was worth it. Since the content of the program covers a wide range of medical topics, students are able to apply diverse thinking into multiple subjects. Anaya Matthews, another white coat recipient who plans on becoming a medical laboratory scientist, said the class gave her a solid foundation for her future goals. I just feel like you need to know the body and you need to also utilize certain things in your learning and put it into real-world situations, Matthew said. The program really helped me do that and was helpful with a lot of anatomy, biology, a little bit of chemistry, and statistics. It helped me a lot.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.